Welcome back to Mastering You with Matt Sutton, the lifestyle performance podcast that helps people live what we call at LPT a triple H life. That is a healthier, happier, higher performing life. The way that we do that is we talk to experts, people that have achieved self-mastery in their life so that you can apply the same principles and strategies into yours. So if you're into fitness, health, wellness, or you're just a personal development junkie like me, then you're gonna absolutely love Mastering You. Make sure you tune in each week, hit subscribe on your favorite platform. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode of Mastering You. Kevin Keppel, welcome to Mastering You. How are we doing today?
Man, what's going on? Doing fantastic. Excited to be here with you guys.
Yeah, fantastic. Really pleased to have you on too. And this topic that we're talking about today is something I'm really passionate about, sharing with our listeners as well. We had a very brief conversation. We just obviously met just literally a few minutes ago, like we do on these podcasts, which is the amazing thing about podcasting these days. We can have awesome conversations with people across the world. I think I've spoken to about 7 people from different continents this week, which is just wow. Incredible, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, so amazing.
And we're both in alignment. You know, we both agree about one thing, which is, well, at LPT, we call it living a triple H life. It's a healthy, happy, high performing life. And the reasons for that, why do we not want to be happier, right? And living like what you call by purpose. And I'm a big believer, like I was just saying to you just now, is particularly in this day and age with the way the world's changed and technology is moving so fast, opportunities have never been, there's never been more opportunity in the world, particularly for people to live what you call living their genius. And we can get into that. But ultimately, I do think, you know, creating your own sort of life, and in doing that, creating your own income, your own wealth, that gives us that opportunity, because we can choose our time. We can choose the things that we want to work on. Obviously it takes help and skill and learning, but I think more than ever, it's an opportunity that's available to more of us than many people think. And the reason why I'm so passionate about it, as you can imagine, as a coach and a personal trainer for 15 years, the big challenge for so many of the members that come to us is their working life. You know, that they're tired, their environments at work are not conducive to health and happiness and high performance often. And that leads to depression, anxiety. They don't have purpose in their life, and they don't feel like they're being what you teach, being a leader. So it makes complete sense. It made complete sense to have you on and talk about this topic of being a leader, but not just in business, but in the leader of your life. And I think I don't know if you agree, but I think the principles that you probably teach leaders of businesses, they just apply to everyone.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when it comes to leadership, I think leadership is so misunderstood for one main fundamental reason, that people think that leadership is a position, and it's not. Leadership's a behavior. And, you know, leadership is kind of like, you know, if you go around telling people you're funny, like that doesn't mean you're funny, right? If nobody's laughing at your jokes, you're not funny. And if you go around telling people you're a leader, but you're not, you know, leading anyone, or there's no, you know, leadership like qualities, then you're not a leader. You know, you're a manager, or, you know, whatever. You're just telling people what to do. And, you know, really the kind of litmus test, the way that you know that you're leading, is when you're inspiring and empowering people. Because, you know, if I inspire you, I stimulate you to action. And if I empower you, I give you the knowledge and the tools of what to do with that stimulation. So, you know, it's just really simple, right? It's a behavior. And I think that's really crucial that people keep that at the forefront.
Yeah, awesome. And this whole thing about helping people align with their genius. We've had a few podcasts recently. We had Stephen Rudolph talk about chasing your lion, not your lions, your tigers, before they eat you. And I think, but what's your take on this with aligning your genius? How do you help people find their genius?
Yeah, well, what a great question. And that was a cool podcast. I actually listened to that this morning because okay, I mean, the title alone, I'm like, oh, Taste About Tiger. I like that, you know? But really it's, you know, we've all got this innate genius in us. Everybody does. And, you know, no matter how buried it is. And what the really cool thing is that everybody's version is different. And, you know, it's so powerful because nobody's ever going to beat you in this world at being you. You know, you got the market cornered on you and you have these specific, you know, talents. And, you know, then you can mix in different attributes and really work on kind of the art of you, right? And, you know, talent's not rare. You know, we have an assessment we use with everybody and I've used it, you know, thousands of times with thousands of people. And like, there's always, you know, the same talents listed, just a different order. But what's rare is people who develop that talent into a, you know, massive strength they can use on demand. And, you know, with our talents that, you know, become strengths like that, like that's power, right? That's our innate power. And, you know, when it's pointed and focused in, you know, a singular direction forward, you know, that's like a, you know, a laser beam can, you know, cut through steel or whatever when it's, you know, focused, but, you know, go outside and the sun's really powerful, but it's dissipated, right? It's kind of spraying everywhere. And so when we focus our strengths like a laser, you know, that's really like using your genius at the highest level. But, you know, kind of like, you know, with the tiger, right? Like if your strengths aren't being, you know, projected outwards in a positive way, they're going to be really sabotage you in a destructive way inwardly. And because power is pretty indifferent, you know, like gravity is powerful. If I walk down the street, I don't float away to the moon or whatever, because gravity keeps me on the earth. But if I jump off my roof, it's going to smash me into the ground. You know, it's not malicious. Yeah. It's just indifferent. And so we need to make sure we're directing our power towards what we do want. And it starts with really understanding, hey, you know, like, what does it look like, you know, when I'm using these gifts that I have in a positive way? And what does it look like when I'm giving all my power away and, you know, sabotaging myself and being destructive, perhaps? And, you know, that requires me understanding, you know, what are these talents? What patterns of behavior do I display? And, you know, like, again, talent's not rare. It's like, talent is like, you know, I'm left-handed. And at some point in time, you know, a teacher was like, you know, you're left-handed. I had no idea what that meant. I just knew I was different from everybody else. And like, I was really upset about it. I think I went home crying. My mom's like, no, it's a good thing. And, you know, I've learned to write with my left hand, obviously. And that's a talent, right? But you know what? I haven't progressed that talent much since 8 years old or whenever I learned to write. You know, I think it was before that, but, you know, 30-ish years, 40 years, whatever, writing. And it's pretty much the same, you know, print that I'm putting out there. But if I took the time to develop it, I could learn calligraphy and do really beautiful things with it and develop this massive strength. But that's not really my purpose. You know, my purpose isn't to be the most beautiful handwriter ever. And, you know, that's
yeah,
okay.
That's a big challenge, I think, for a lot of people is if they've, you know, been kind of stuck in a rut for a long time, or, you know, maybe they have considered, you know, self-employment and starting their own business, but they may be working in corporate or working in a job for a long time where they sort of the conditioning aspect of that means that they lose the self-awareness to remember what their true sort of genius, as you put it, is. So have you got any recommendations into tools or resources to help people on the path who, I guess, it, without sounding a bit woo-woo, sort of need to go on that journey of finding themselves a little bit to kind of refine what are they passionate about? Because if you ask most people, well, what do you want? What are you passionate about? My guess is they don't know.
No, you know, myself included in the past, you know, it's like, what do you want? And kind of get this weird look, right? Like, you like for dinner, you know, like, and most people can't even answer that question, right? Like, you know, everybody has that agree that with their spouse, right? What do you want? Oh, I don't care. And then, you know, obviously they care or you care, right? You just don't know. And, you know, for the longest time, I couldn't answer that question. And I think that's one of the most important questions, along with, you know, another one. It's like, what do you want and why do you want it? And those two questions right there, like, you really, really need to get clear on that, because, you know what, for one, the way you know, like, you have a deep understanding is if you can explain it really simply. Like, if you can explain to me what you want really simply, then you probably understand it really well. But if you can't, then okay, you need more clarity. And so what are you passionate about? You know, what lights you on fire? What are you excited about? What do you love to create? What do you love to do? What, you know, what do you want? And then when you find that passion, it's like, okay, you get to the why by, okay, how can I mix generosity into this passion? How can I, you know, use this to serve other people? That's my purpose. That's the why, right? And so what do you want? Why do you want it? But if people do make it that far, they get tripped up because they add in a third component. They're like, well, how? You know, how am I going to do this thing that I want? You know, I just, the mind can't, know what it doesn't know. The mind has a beginning and an end. And if you're solely relying on the mind, you know, you're relying on a finite part of you. Like, we're infinite beings, right? There's so much more to us than this mind. It's very powerful for sure, but I don't use my legs all day long, right? I don't use my mind all day long either. Sometimes I need to, you know, let go and just leverage that, you know, part of us that we can't be fully explained. And, you know, I think, you know, one of the really powerful tools that I love to use is StrengthsFinder's assessment from Gallup. Mm. Man, that one is so cool because it's not a complete portrait of your character, but it's like, hey, here's your natural talents, the patterns of behavior that give you immense amount of energy when you use them in the proper way. And yeah.
I did StrengthsFinder's a few years ago. I found it really good. That's a good recommendation there. And I think also just to add to that is for a lot of people, it's giving themselves permission to that they can have what they want, that they can, or at least choose, you know, what they want and decide why. Because, you know, like I said, for many people for so long, they've sort of been maybe serving others, you know, whether that be their family, their boss, and they've sort of so lost themselves that they almost don't feel worthiness to kind of say, well, that's what I want. That self-worth is low. And that's something that they really need to work on first.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that sounds pretty familiar to me because we get caught in the trap of doing what we should be doing, you know, like, well, you should be working here or you should, whatever. And like, I had a job that I was making, you know, really good money at. I was in sales and I was successful. I was winning the trips and getting recognition. And I was working with a business coach because, you know, I wanted to, you know, go bigger. And he asked me, he's like, dude, tell me about your job. You know, tell me what you love about what you do. And, you know, he used the word love. And I was like, oh man, well, I love this and I love that and blah, 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 blah. And he was like a really cool dude. He was in the Secret Service for like 30 years. So he's really good at being like stoic and like, just look at you and make you uncomfortable. So you'd say more words. And I got done and he waited for like a minute, felt like an hour. He's like, dude, I don't even think you like your job. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? And he's like, dude, you won't even look at me when you're talking about it. Your tone changed. You're slumped down in the chair. And he's like, it's like you're lying to yourself. And I'm like, well, okay, there's certain things that could be better. And really, it got really clear that, you know what, I really liked, I was a director of sales at the time, and I was really into mentoring the other people and helping them be more, you know, without making them feel like less. And you know, I was coaching. I just didn't know as a coach at the time, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, long story short, that's what, you know, brought me into what I do now. And, you know, there's always like kind of echoes of, you know, what your genius is. You just kind of got to go and look for it. You know, what are the things that you're doing that you feel like you could, you know, do all day and that actually give you energy instead of, you know, feel like your phone's on with all your apps running and your power is just dropping as you're doing it, you know, like that is not your genius. If it's a job that on Sunday night, you don't want to go to sleep because you don't want to get up Monday and go do the thing that you hate doing. Like that is obviously you're not using your genius. And it's so frustrating because you know that you're wasting part of your life. And you know what, like, spoiler alert, it's not yours to waste. Like, you didn't create this life. You don't get to waste it. And you were given all these beautiful gifts to serve other people. That's the whole point, is to grow as much as we can so we can give it all away. And man, it's so cool when you're in that vein, because if I'm focused on Matt, you know, serving you, like there's nothing, no time to worry about me and what's not in it for me and all this other BS that doesn't matter. But you know, like, we're trained by like society, whatever, like, you know, like, get yours or, you know, whatever, that like, we're this like separate being from everybody else. And that's just not the world we live in, you know, like we're all in this thing together. And so, you know, we all, you know, rising tide raises all ships.
So step one's really, you know, finding your genius, finding the things that naturally give you that energy. And let's say you do want to, you know, you've got big aspirations to be a leader, maybe to create your own business or start your own business, and to help give you a bit more freedom, autonomy. What does someone do? You talk a lot about, you know, creating a vision. Would that be something to start with?
Yeah, of course. You know, that's where we always start with our clients, because, you know, if you don't know what you want, how in the world are you going to know if you got it? Or how do you know what action to take to go get it? And, you know, like, I was reading about a study on the internet, so you know it was true, right? You got to put facts on there. That's the rules. But it was, you know, it showed people in the desert and it showed people in the woods, and they let them off from point A and said, go to point B, but they didn't have a map or a compass and nobody knew the landmarks. And every time, whether it was a desert, mountains, whatever, people walked in circles and they went back to the start. And so basically, without clear direction, as humans, we go in circles and then we go back to what's familiar, even if we don't want what's familiar. And so you got to know what you want, right? Because
that's so on point for what I do as well. You know, people, we see people, you know, they try these different like fatty diets and, you know, one diet to the next and they'd never work, like, but they always come back to them. but it's almost like, you know, this is something I've noticed as a coach over many years is people kind of, they become accustomed to the sort of suffering and that becomes their norm. And even though it's not nice to experience, like, because it's familiar, you know, they can keep going back to it.
Yeah, it's so wild, you know, like, and
like a job that people hate, like, you know, for years, but because you're used to it and you realize you can survive, but you don't enjoy it. You prefer to suffer along than to change. But yeah,
but that's what, you know, the kind of the next step is in the evolution. Like, once you get, like, you know, kind of clear on what you want and, you know, get really connected to that heart set, you know, the ultimate power of us is, you know, our heart, right? That's where we're creating from our, you know, absolute highest potential. And really then it's about creativity and understanding, you know, what your unique expression of creativity looks like when it's flowing through you, because creativity is a little risky, right? We're always going into the unknown where we're creating, but that's where all the gold lives, because if I'm clinging to the known, then I'm staying the same pretty much every day. And, you know, personal inflation is going to eat me up, right? The world's still revolving around me, just not the way I want it to, right? But it's beautiful, you know, when I let go and start striving for creativity, that's for, you know, that's where you find uniqueness. And that's where you know, go to the edges and really, you know, take a stand and use your voice. And if you're like, you know, trying to pander to everyone and kind of, you know, the middle, you know, that's average behavior. And if I want to be above average, I have to treat myself above average. And, you know, the way that you do that is by creating things in only the way you can. And, you know, that doesn't mean every day is going to be magical, sliding down rainbows on the way to work at the Unicorn Ranch. But, you know, it's a lot better than a stick in the eye when you're getting to live, you know, through your unique expression.
Yeah. Okay. So we've done step two. We've created the vision. We've started the business. And this is more for the business owners now listening. Why is leadership and learning? Because this is something that I really only kind of started to study a few years ago. I kind of realized, you know, with a growing team, I needed to sort of start thinking more as a leader. And so it's something that I'm still on the journey of. So you can give me lots of tips and strategies myself, but for the listeners as well, why is learning leadership skills really important?
Sure. And, you know, that's really kind of the next evolution is understanding there's a very specific influence equation that you need to execute on, you know, and John Maxwell, one of the most, you know, foremost leadership experts, right? Leadership is influence. And I agree with that, you know, influencing the behavior of others. And the equation is pretty simple. It's, you know, three things: trust, connection, and then vision. But most leaders, you know, especially newer leaders and myself included, when I was younger, like, we get it backwards and we start with vision. We're like, hey, this is where we're going, go get it. And people, you know, are either confused or maybe they're just not connected to it. So they may work on it, but it's not going to be, you know, this beautiful collective synergy that's just, you know, crushing it towards a common goal. Because, like, as a leader, the goal is to have the people behind you growing as individuals and growing together as a team. Like, that's how you create championships, you know, whether it's, you know, a baseball team or a company or whatever. Like, we have to grow as individuals and we need to grow together as a team. So it starts with trust. Like, the one question that everybody's asking of a leader internally, whether you know it or not, is like, do you like me? Because if I feel like the leader doesn't like me, I don't feel safe. And I don't feel like what's important to me is important to him or her. But, you know, when you're like, there's a lot of different ways to build trust, but I think one of the, you know, most powerful ways is through authenticity, you know, showing up the way you say you're going to show up, being the same person publicly and privately, and, you know, just, you know, being who you say you are. And, you know, that's really beautiful, because when people really trust you, they feel safe. And if I feel safe, that means I'm okay to be vulnerable. That means I'll be creative. You know, I'll go into the unknown because I feel safe to do that. Then, like, that's beautiful, because that leverages connection. And, you know, you start getting people connected to themselves, connected to the vision, and connected to you. And when I'm connected to the leader's vision, I will happily co-create that vision with them. And that's what it's all about, is co-creation, because when we're co-creating, we're co-elevating. And so that influence equation works, you know, with the people you lead, but also it works with yourself. Like, you've got to trust yourself first and really lean into that connection, you know, to your heart set, so that you can, you know, create your vision of amazing. Because I can't give what I don't have. If I'm disconnected and, you know, not even feeling safe with myself, then I'm not going to create trust and safety with, you know, Matt when I'm sitting across from him. But it's beautiful when you're, you know, connected to something, you know, bigger than yourself like that. It's really, really powerful.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I've kind of noticed as a leader, I guess, is, you know, what I like about it is there's a lot of accountability there. You know, you've got to, like you say, lead by example. And then there's obviously there's times when you think, oh, I'm probably not doing that right now. And you have that check in with yourself and say, okay, I need to up my game here. I need to do this and that. And, you know, that in itself is a good accountability, just to kind of make sure that you are doing the right things. What are some of the worst things you can do as a leader?
Well, I think you hit the nail around the head there. It's like, if I'm telling you to do something, but I'm not doing it, well, that's definitely not accountability or authentic. And, you know, Gandhi said it best, right? Be the change you want to see. You know, if I'm asking you to do something, I better be doing that thing myself. And there's a great story about Gandhi. You know, people would come to see him, and a woman brought her child. She's like, hey, Mr. Gandhi, or whatever they called him, and could you tell him to stop eating so much candy? And Gandhi looked at her and said, yeah, but bring him back in 10 days. And so she leaves and comes back. She sees him again. It's like, would you tell him, please? And he looks at the kid. He's like, hey, stop eating so much candy. It's bad for you. Your teeth will fall out. And the little kid goes away. And the mom said, thank you so much. You know, like, but why did we have to come back? And Gandhi looked at her and said, well, if I was going to tell him to stop eating candy, I had to quit eating candy myself first. And, you know, like, I don't know that that's true. I wasn't there, but I think that's a really beautiful story, you know?
Yeah, it's really, I like that.
You know, it's a great example. Like, are you taking the advice you're dishing out? And so I think the worst thing you can do as a leader is, for one, like, just telling people what to do. That's probably, you know, the worst thing you can do, because that's not leadership, that's management. And I don't know about you, but I do not like being told what to do. Like, because autonomy is one of our most fundamental needs as humans, you know, the freedom to direct our own lives. But you put a question mark at the end of that, and I'm happy to serve you. I love to serve people. And if you ask me, like, I'll happily do it. And so I think, you know, just really, it's probably about respect. And, you know, as long as you're respecting.
That's a good point, is how you differentiate management from leadership. You know, what are some, because obviously there are certain businesses, including mine, where there's quite a fine line between the two. So it's knowing how, for someone similar to myself, you know, how do you ensure that, obviously there are parts of management that are required to run a successful business, and then, but the leadership areas, so how do you differentiate those?
Yeah, that's a really great question. You know, I think, like, naturally as leaders and just humans, we're either good at one of two things. We're either good at relationships or results. Like, we're good at both, but just one we're more dominant in. Like, for me, I was way better at relationships than results when I started out. And, you know, if I'm just worried about getting everybody to like me, then results are going to suffer. So it's really the best leaders who, you know, kind of focus on relationships and results pretty equally, and really having, you know, extreme ownership to the results. There was a great book by Jocko Willink named Extreme Ownership.
Oh, I love that book. Yeah.
God, so good, man.
That was one of my favorite leadership books.
Yeah, me as well. Like, and I've given
every leader needs to read that book.
Oh my gosh, yes. You know, I've given it to a couple of the CEOs that I work with, and, like, each time I do that, they're like, I got to have all the leadership team read this, because it's so beautiful, because you totally empower yourself when you have extreme ownership. Like, everything that happens on my team is a result of, you know, something I did or did not do. And
but again, like, when we first started this podcast, we're talking about the principles of leadership, and that extreme ownership book was written more towards, you know, leaders of companies. But boy, is how much does that relate to every person on earth? Like, you know, if we're complaining about something, you know, or we're complaining we're not losing weight, but we're not doing the things that are required to lose weight, if we're not achieving the career goals that we want or the relationship goals we want, who's it down to? You. Like, you're the person, you know, you have to take ownership of that first. Of course, there's going to be, you know, experiences and environments and challenging situations. But even then, you know, we can only do what we can do. So we have to take ownership of all of those, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's such a beautiful thought. You know, you don't have to have people on your team to be a leader. You know, when you're picking up trash and nobody's looking, or you think nobody's looking, you know, and you're walking your dog, like, that's leadership, you know, being a part of the solution. And, you know, leadership's a skill and it can be learned. And, you know, if you don't feel like you're showing up as a leader, that's okay. Like, don't feel bad, just do better. You know, feeling bad is just, you know, making yourself a victim, and you're the villain to your own victim. And, you know, we've done that enough to ourselves. You know, like, I think that it's so important that, you know, as a leader or just a human, that you really exercise the skill of being kind as opposed to right. You know, being kind with yourself, being kind with other people, and, you know, like, do I do better today than I did yesterday? You know, I'm a little bit better, you know, that's it.
Yeah, I think more than ever that message from Jocko regarding extreme ownership, I think it's needed now more than ever, like, because there's such a blame culture in the world. It feels like that anyway with media. You know, you've only got to put the news on and everyone's blaming someone for something. And when do you ever see anyone taking ownership of anything, particularly in the political world? You know, so that there's a big market out there to be the better person, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I think that word blame, man, you touched on a really important concept. And it's like those three letters, B, C, and D, right? Blaming, complaining, defending. Like, I can't think of one positive thing I've ever seen anyone create, myself included, with those three things. You know, and it's like, dude, you know, use the A, take some action. You know, like, even if you know, aren't crystal clear, still take some action, because once you're in action, you start getting immediate feedback. You know, maybe it's one more way not to go. But I think so many people get lost in the planning, or tomorrow, you know, I'll do it tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes, right? And like, if you make this beautiful plan and then you get into action and realize that it's completely flawed, then you've wasted a lot of time. And, you know, Mike Tyson, a really famous boxer, you know, he was like a monster in the ring, but he has this quote where he said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. I'm like, man, that's a good point, you know, like, so, man, just get into action. You may get punched in the mouth, but so what? Like, if you're not getting knocked down, then you're not really going that big anyways.
I know one of the questions when I've spoke to business owners or leaders, one of their big sort of frustrations is if their team isn't, you know, is engaged in the vision as they are. And I don't think any team ever is as engaged as the leader themselves. But what are your tips, strategies, and, you know, how do you help leaders get, you know, and I'm asking this as a leader myself, how do you help, you know, really get the team around the vision?
Yeah, that's a really, really great question. And that, man, that shows that, you know, you're very intentional in your leadership, because a lot of leaders don't even ask that question. They're just like, hey, do this. And then they just like do this more, and they get more aggressive, and they turn up the things that don't work. And so it's just checking in with people. For one, it's like, hey, you know, what do you want? You know, why do you want that, to the people on the team, and helping them understand how whatever their purpose and their vision is for themselves personally, you know, lines up with what, you know, you're doing as an organization or a team or whatever, and how, you know, them helping the company succeed at their vision helps them succeed at their personal vision. And, you know, it's really important that you connect people to purpose like that, because when you do that, you pull people outside of themselves. You know, people will give up on themselves before they'll give up on like the group. You know, like, people are so much harder on themselves internally than they are on the group. And like, you know, it's a lot easier to get up when I have, you know, something bigger than me I'm serving. And so just help them understand that.
What have been your own biggest challenges, you know, without going obviously into personal details, but, you know, regarding being a leader yourself, what have been some of the biggest challenges you've found in overcoming to be the best leader you can be?
Yeah. Getting over myself, man. Like, you know, like the ego, like when I was first in charge, so to speak, in my 20s, I got a job, and I played sports my whole life and been captain of teams and stuff like that. But it was about me. It was about me winning instead of us. And, you know, I was very self-focused. And if, like, it didn't go exactly the way I wanted it to, I would get really frustrated. And I needed other people to be okay for me to be okay. And I needed me to be a certain way to be okay, or needed people to see me a certain way to be okay. And that's all ego, you know? And the ego wants all the attention, but none of the blame. And it's like, it's just like, hey, you know, everybody look at me, but not too close, because I don't really like what's going on in here. You know, that's basically the call sign of the ego. And the ego, you know, it needs conflict to survive. And so I was so intentional about just telling people what to do and getting upset with them if they didn't, because, you know, that was my model of leadership. My leader at the time was like abusive and screamed at us and like profanities. And
yeah,
I would threaten people with him. I'm like, hey man, he's going to be here in a little bit, so you should be cool, you know, and do this thing. And that, man, that's not leadership at all. You know, I just didn't know better at the time, unfortunately.
Are some people just naturally better leaders than others? I mean, you know, because there are so many ways, as the term or the saying goes, to skin a cat. You know, you hear stories of the legends like Steve Jobs, who was quite well known for not potentially being a great leader. Maybe in some ways he was, but in other ways he was one of the harshest critics, sure, or leaders around their team. But obviously he achieved phenomenal things while he was around. But maybe he was a better marketer, or maybe he was a better engineer, or maybe he was a better creative. What do you see is that the themes when you meet someone and you know this person, yeah, that this is a natural born leader, or this person's definitely got what it takes? Because obviously there's going to be people listening that maybe are looking to find good leaders.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty profound question. But, you know, there's really five attributes, I think, that really powerful leaders are displaying, whether they know it or not. And it not necessarily they have super high levels of all five, but they have all five somewhere in the way that they're, you know, kind of executing on whatever it is they're doing. And it starts with empathy. You know, empathy is like being able to, you know, understand where people are coming from on an emotional level. You know, and feeling what they're feeling without owning their feelings, right? And then selflessness, you know, I need to, you know, feel like, you know, our success or the, you know, the company success or whatever is more important than the individual success of the leader. And then with authenticity, we talked about, you know, it's just being who you say you be. And then decisiveness, you know, that ability to make decisions in a timely manner, mm-hmm, you know, because if I make the best decision in the world, but it took me 6 months, well, then that's probably not really helpful, because, you know, the world moves quickly. And, you know, that word accountability that you use too is really important, you know, being accountable to the actions or the decisions we've made. And, you know, it's really beautiful when you have those things in place, because what you do is you can, if you're really using those at a high level, you can remove yourself almost from the equation. And, you know, Lao Tzu, that famous ancient Chinese philosopher who wrote the Tao Te Ching, which is how you pronounce it if you're from Texas. But he has this great quote where he said, a leader is best when people barely know he exists. And when they're done with the work, they say, hey, we did this ourselves. And man, that's some powerful leadership.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah, this is such a fascinating conversation. I think it's one of those where we could talk for hours on end. I'm curious about some of your top resources and tools. I know you're an avid reader. What are some of your favorite? Obviously, we talked about Jocko's Extreme Ownership book. What are some books or tools or resources that you recommend for people to become better leaders?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I would definitely take the Strengths Finders assessment. They actually rebranded it a couple of years ago, the Clifton Strengths assessment. But I mean, it's like $50, and you can, you know, really get a crystal clear view of, you know, what your genius looks like in action. And that's a really cool gift to give to yourself. But most people, when they take it, and I did the same thing, I took it, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Whatever. Doesn't say I'm like the coolest thing in the world, and like threw it on the shelf, right?
Yeah.
And you know, my coach was like, dude, don't you think we should like decipher this a bit? And you know, fortunately I listened. And then I went through Gallup's coaching school years ago and got certified by them to use that as a tool. And so, man, it's phenomenally powerful. And, you know, I love to read, like you said, there's so many amazing books out there. You know, one of the books I really love is called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And, you know, he's a writer, and he writes really well about resistance, you know, that invisible force that stops us.
Yeah, that's my favorite book.
Oh man, it's so good. I've listened to it so many times. I like all of his books are, you know, just amazing. You know, and it transcends to like pretty much any industry, you know, and gosh, I've gotten so much out of that. So, and I don't know.
Action, you know, one of the things I'm getting from you is actions, just, you know, decisive action is just one of the real keys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Because if you're not in action, you're just going to sit there and recycle the past, basically, because you only have, you know, what you know. And, you know, whatever you know, maybe not true anyways. And it's about making new decisions, you know, new decisions about who we are, new decisions about the way the world is, whatever, and just being open to more and kind of that, you know, what if question. And there's another really cool book that it's not as mainstream that I really like. It's by James Hillman. It's called The Soul's Code. It's a really, really cool book. He talks about your daemon, which is like your genius, basically. And just, man, he goes a lot deeper, but man, it was a really cool book. One of those books I read, and I'm like, yeah, I'll have to read this again because it's pretty,
yeah,
pretty dense.
Yeah, I've heard him on a podcast. He's pretty a deep guy.
I bet, man. Yeah, he's phenomenal though. He's got just a really cool way of kind of making complex things understandable. So I got a lot out of that book too.
What would you say, just finishing up, what's the biggest thing that tends to slow down, stop leaders from creating the best versions of themselves, their businesses?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the biggest thing, but, you know, really two things that I see is, I mean, really it's the ego. You know, I guess that would be the biggest thing, because the ego,
interesting,
it's really worried about being right as opposed to being more. And, you know, one of the things the ego loves to do, it loves to have an opinion about everything, you know, an opinion about you, opinion about other people. And that's so dangerous, because whenever I'm having an opinion, like, that's judgment, you know, and that comparison game we get into, you know, we look at other people and then we feel inferior or superior. And both of those are a judgment. And when you've judged something, you can no longer understand it, because that's your end of your understanding, because you've made this decision about how this thing is. And, you know, like, change is one of the guarantees we get in life. Things are going to change. You're going to change. People are going to change. But if you're making all these judgments so you can feel safe, you know, that's what the ego wants to do. It wants to feel safe. And it thinks, you know, being like separate and, you know, judging everything and understanding everything perfectly is safety. And man, this,
yeah,
is, this
was
boss.
It talking about books, Ryan Holiday's Ego is the Enemy is just a classic as well on that topic, right?
Oh yeah. So I've read that one so many times. I just actually listened to him on Joe Rogan's podcast earlier this week.
And yeah, I did as well. It's great.
Yeah, it was really good. Man, he's a cool dude. And The Obstacle is the Way is really good. That was like his first book. And I mean, all of his books are great. Stillness is the Key is awesome. He's a pretty cool writer.
Yeah. This has been a fantastic conversation. I've really enjoyed this, Kevin. If any leaders are listening in and that they need help with their leadership and becoming better leaders, where do they find out more about what you have to offer?
Sure. You can go to kevinkeppel.us. Right now we've got it open for a little strategy session call. If you want, feel free to fill out the little form. I'd love to connect with other really powerful people. And man, you know, a lot of times on the call, we can get people worked out and pointed in a new direction and, you know, off and running, and pretty simple in 30 minutes. Or Instagram, Kevin Keppel. And I always love connecting, you know, with great people. So reach out and say what's up.
Fantastic. And last question we always ask, the name of this podcast is Mastering You. In one sentence, Kevin, what does self-mastery mean to you?
Being really intentional about choosing love over fear is a skill and a matter of choice on a daily basis.
Ah, love that. Love that. Thanks so much for your time, Kevin. I really enjoyed this. And thanks for listening, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into today's show. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, all I would ask is to head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, whatever you're listening to this from, and just pop us a 5-star rating. That is what is going to help us keep this show going and keep delivering awesome content to you. If you'd love to connect with me personally, if you'd like me to help you with your own path to self-mastery, then you can get me on any of our social media channels, all of which are in the show notes on Facebook, Instagram, etc. Best place to get me though personally is in our Mastering You Facebook group. Okay, so head on over to the show notes for that link. Come and say hi if I can help you with any way with your fitness, your mindset, your health, wellness goals. I sure will. Until then, take care.